Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Good morning, Julie.
Good evening, Christine. Or just good day.
Just good day.
How are you doing today, Christine Marie?
You know, Julie Marie.
I want to say this. If you listen to our podcast, listen to our show, please hit give us a hands up, Gary. Just, you know, review it. That'd be great.
Send everybody, money.
We never asked for that.
Money? And
sure, neither that or something else, but we never asked for any of that stuff. And every time I listen to a podcast, they're always like saying, hey, rate us, send us a donation, go to our Patreon site. And I'm like, dang, we really got to up our ante on this stuff. Because we try to make people have a good time, you know, and have them enjoy life and be part of the girlfriends.
And then they're going, oh, they're just
like everybody else.
Yeah,
we're not really. Yeah. We're not like anybody else. Honestly,
we're not. I think we're not. We're not the two dope queens.
That's true.
Yeah. And we're not political.
I'll tell you. We're political in the absurdity of it all. Yeah. We're like, oh.
Yeah, we're absurd.
We're absurd. And I see the absurdity in everything because what like attract likes. So because I'm absurd, I see absurdity everywhere. I was listening this morning to CNN a little bit, and they're talking about the Iran deal. And we were seeing Donald Trump read from the teleprompter.
Mm-hmm. We can always tell.
Yes, because he reads every syllable.
Yeah. Iran. To the, oh, Iran.
Iran. Okay, I got it now. And then they showed a clip from Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, speaking. And, you know, he has his own way of saying things as well. And I remember back in the day, they used to talk about how some channels would fast forward his speeches because he had a way of pausing a lot, looking around, and I'm like, he does. It's so funny. And he never looks like he's reading specifically, but you know he is. They're mm-hmm. all reading. Mm-hmm. But he has just this way of like, you know, if you don't like the deal, it would be wonderful if there would be a legitimate, a second choice. But I'm not getting that. And I, you know, when you talked about we're not two dope queens,
yes,
I was listening to Two Dope Queens the other day, and we speak incredibly fast
compared to them.
I think that we have more content, more yeah. in 15 minutes a show than anybody else does.
Exactly, and that's why you should give us money.
That's right. Just for the length of our words.
Yeah.
But not only that, I feel like we have four or five shows, but if we were in front of an audience and we had to pause for laughter and clap, mm-hmm. maybe I should put that in there.
Oh, you know. I love it.
Do you like it? Like,
can you just get one of those sound effect machines?
I will.
And after I say something like, you know, Julie, there was a man that was discovered. Actually, he was arrested this week for having sex with this car. The police said it was exhausting. But I'm
bummed. Laughter, laughter, laughter. Here's the funny part.
That wasn't funny.
That was funny. Now going back to your joke, which I heard, I first heard about that from you, because I guess Normano told you the story.
Right.
And then you told me the joke.
Right.
And then Normano, a day later, goes, Julie, did you hear the guy who had sex with his car in public and used the exhaust, he was used making love with the exhaust pipe? I'm like, my God, that's crazy. The tailpipe. Yeah, I'm making love with a tailpipe. I'm like, it's wild. What's going on? He goes, oh, he was exhausted. I'm like, okay.
Well, there's going to be a lot of versions.
Yes, and then finally on Saturday Night Live, a week after this story. Yeah. Now, I am guessing that it really, truly did happen, right? Because every joke has a kernel of truth to it.
Absolutely.
So there really was a man that was caught in public having relations with his car using the tailpipe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there are harder ways to get out gunk from a tailpipe. I know they had to be cleaned once in a while.
Have your pipes cleaned?
I don't know. Is that true?
I don't know.
Or do you even just wipe it to get tested? I don't know.
Oh, that's true. Like it was in California. And they do have to test for emissions. Do the sound effect thing again.
Yay.
See, now if we were porn girls,
yes.
Every time I would do a joke like that, I'd hear a little cha-ching, 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 because people would be adding money.
Oh, I see.
To my account.
Oh, I see. Like they're
watching me live, you know.
Yes.
And I'm doing something funny, and they go,
yeah.
And I just hear the sound of money, and I just like, I go crazy.
Yeah.
I go crazy.
This is nuts.
Yeah. You were just telling me, I did another joke. It wasn't that funny, because you were telling me that we're just, because of the immigration problems, we're having our poor farmers and our poor seamen.
Yeah.
no. are having problems getting, you know, workers that just come in and they work for 4 or 5 weeks and they go back home and take the money back home or whatever. And you were hearing a story on NPR about the crab fisherman.
Yes.
And that he, when the crab man said, I put in an ad in the paper and I paid per pound, which means that if they were just even slightly good, they could make $160 a day.
Yes.
And that's a living wage.
Yes.
Basically, he said.
Yes.
And I said, and I said to Norm, because we now know, as AARP is telling us, yes, and everybody else in the world is telling us, that there's no such thing as retirement anymore. There's only something that you do differently.
Yes.
You stop what you were doing.
That paid you a living wage.
And then you do something different.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's like, that's the, you know.
That's the retirement.
And you see the commercial of this, like, 90-year-old guy trying to hold the fire hose, the fireman, and he's, like, flying in the air.
I've always wanted to be a fireman.
I think we can try that
I think I can try this.
So I said to Norm, you know, hey, Norm, how many crabs can a crab man shuck if a crab man could shuck
crab?
Shuck crab or whatever. And he thought that was funny. And then he goes, well, I do have to have something different, don't I, Chrissy? And I said, repeat after me. Would. He's like, would. I said, you like fries with that.
Yay. Laugh track. Yes. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, yeah, I guess I would laugh. And then he goes, I think I'll just keep driving my truck until I no longer can drive my truck.
That's right. That's right.
I think being on my feet all day long.
It's the gypsy in you, Norm.
Yeah, exactly. It's the born to run.
Yes.
It's the born to run there and back. Born to drive there and back. Born to say the same thing every year.
Yeah.
There's only two kinds of weather, winter and construction.
But I'm bump. More just, money coming in.
Yeah, just. We're just full of it.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah, so I kind of had an interesting experience this week. And I'm going to tell you about it because I really believe we've been working with this concept. You and I have been working with it. You know how we have something come up and we kind of let it percolate in our soul to motivate us or to see what we're supposed to be learning from this.
Yes, exactly. And that's how we live our life.
Right. And in one book, I'm going to paraphrase, it talked about you can, this idea that, which we know this, but you forget about it, right? You forget and you get back to it. But this idea that if you could believe that everything that happened to you was done by your choice. Like, you chose this experience, whatever's happening at this moment, for you.
You chose it.
You chose it. And by saying that, by saying you chose it, it gives you the power back to make it into whatever you want to make it into. Mm-hmm. Now, the phrasing was much more eloquent than I'm saying it.
Yes.
That was the gist of it
all. That's the gist.
And so, consequently, this was an old quote that we heard that I was reading from an older book. But then, like, your brain goes, oh, okay, you're swinging this idea and concept because maybe you were feeling like a victim. And and then you're like, I'm done to feeling like a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And so then,
taking my power back.
Take my power back. So you hear this quote and it starts to percolate in you. Then all of a sudden, out in the world, you hear references to something like that quote.
Mm-hmm.
One was, I told you I was watching Moms the other night.
Right.
And I don't know, I think her, Anna Faris's sponsor said, you know, she's like, do you think I need to leave my mother's house? And she goes, well, yeah, you could. And he goes, well, I really can't because every other option out there is not as good as my mom. So I'm just going to stay with my mom. And he goes, no, oh, so you're choosing to stay with your mom and live with your mom. No, I'm not choosing that. I'm not choosing. I have no other option. And he goes, well, that's not a good enough thing. You not having any other options is you feeling like a victim.
Right.
But you saying, I'm choosing to live with my mom is empowering, and I want you to say you choose it.
Right.
And then he goes, when you say you choose it then, and that you chose it, I want you now not to complain about it. And I don't want you to, you know, make fun of her or say you hate her. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do nice things for her without her knowing, mm-hmm. or without needing credit for it. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, yes, somebody has been, you know, and I heard this. And, you know, that was one thing that I heard that kind of like, you know, emphasized what I've been working with. And then at the end, though, it could cut two ways because her mom is getting married and probably will be moving on to greener pastures.
Oh, that's so funny. Moving on to greener pastures. More money, please.
And then, and Anna Faris is upset because she goes, I'm so upset with you, to her sponsor. And she goes, why? Because my mom's going to be moving on, and for the first time, I'm going to miss her. Because she's been being nice and not criticizing her and, you know, and not feeling like she can't stand her because her mom's so judgmental and all this stuff and that she chose this life. And so last night I was watching, we went to the movies to see Avengers? The Avengers, yeah. Infinity War. Just the idea, calling it Infinity War, like it was the longest movie
ever.
It was great. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, that. It was a long, long movie, and every Marvel character was in this movie. Everyone, probably, basically. And I'm not gonna tell you the ending because everybody's like, don't want to talk about it at all. And hi, little guy. Little Elliot came in to enjoy the show.
Elliot just walked in the door.
Yeah, just walked in. He's a good boy. So I won't talk about it in that respect. But it felt like it went on forever. And it was a good movie, but there were literally a couple times in there that I closed my eyes. Because I thought, I am
exhausted.
Tired. Yeah. And I go, well, you know what? I chose this. I chose being in a movie theater with a lot of other people watching this loud movie. Very colorful to be, you know. And but in the beginning of the movie, there's the previews, right? You have previews, of course. And your guy was in a preview. It was more of a...
Blake Shelton?
No, your other guy.
Chris Pine?
No, you know...
Thor? No.
Who are you friends with on Facebook?
Rock. Rock.
Yes. Okay. Hello.
Sorry.
So what it was him doing a commercial of some sort. I don't know if it was for Nike or... Oh, I think it was for Axel Wear or something like kind of, you know, athletic wear. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, you know, you could do it like so-and-so, you know. And they said, she doesn't take no for answer, and she leaves it all on. And he's giving examples of how you can succeed. He goes, you could be like me, you know, blow out your knee, can't be in the NFL, have $7 to your name, and, you know, decide and have to change your dream and basically succeed because you're the last person in the gym. You're the last, yeah, because you never, ever, ever give up.
Oh. You know,
not never, don't
no,
give up.
No. You just gave that joke away.
Oh, no, I did. Oh, no, I set you up. I'm sorry.
He set me up just to take it away.
I'm sorry. Yeah, never, rewind. And then never give up, you know. And
yeah.
He wants to have that tattooed possibly on his body. I don't know. And but it was interesting because, first of all, he gave all these examples of people who are young, you know, 12 to 20, you know, going after their dreams. And I'm thinking that he needs to expand a little bit and have people like, you know, who are 45 or 55 going, or, you know, so-and-so.
So my dream did not turn out, but I did this instead.
Yeah.
And I became the fry king.
Yeah. Or like, I didn't think my husband was going to leave me at 45 for a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
But, you know, after we had three kids, but... You know, I guess you gotta do what you gotta do, and you know, here I am, and you know,
selling Avon Cosmetics.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be the best Avon Cosmetics seller in the world because I really don't have time to make it the old-fashioned way by investing $20 a week for the rest of my life. Because my rest of my life ain't that long.
Exactly. Oh, you know, I was listening to something on the radio, and people were The guy was talking, Elliot, good boy. The guy was talking about millennials.
Yeah.
And how they are changing the landscape of corporate America. Yeah. Because they don't like to work. And right. So they're saying some of the perks that you have to offer millennials to get them to work.
You're kidding me. Okay.
And one of them was like unlimited time off.
Wait a minute. Unlimited time off.
Exactly.
That kind of almost sounds like you get paid for doing nothing. How does that work? I like that idea.
That's exactly right. And I'm trying to think of some of the other things that, because millennials just, they just don't want to really work in the ordinary way.
Wow.
Can you remember some of the other ones I was telling you about? I can only remember that one for now. They like to be picked up.
Yes.
You know, because they don't have cars, so you have to kind of send a bus for them.
Well, it's so interesting you say a limited time off, because, you know, when you work 9 to 5, you think you work 9 to 5. But I guess what that means is you have a job to do. Here's your job for the week. And once you accomplish that job, you can go home.
That's exactly right.
And so, and it's funny because then you go, well, then there really will be no improvement, or you don't have any chance for growth because you're set. And it's just, I find it interesting because I know, like, a lot of times too, millennials want to work from anywhere. Like, I want to do my job on the beach.
Right.
So if I can't do my job on the beach, I don't know if I want to be working for you.
Right.
I'm like, wow, okay. And I guess people are under the impression that you can do your job from anywhere you want. You can do it because you work on the computer.
Yeah.
And,
well, we have a millennial in our life that, his work situation changed this week. He worked in a vape shop, but it's in downtown Chicago.
Yes.
And it's a, you know, but they figured out that they can do a lot more business if they close the storefront, didn't have to really pay rent and employees.
Right.
And just did, you know, continued with their online business and just grew that.
Yeah.
And so now he can work from, well, I guess he has to kind of oversee, like, stocking and things like that. But he prefers that a lot more because it's, you know, it's not like sitting around waiting for a customer to come in and buy whatever they buy.
I don't know.
But he was saying there's this one thing that they sell thousands of pounds a day of. I don't remember what it is.
Thousands of little bottles of these things.
Thousands of bottles.
Yes.
A day
of some nicotine. To go into your vape, or what do you call it?
And this is different than smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
Is it better for you?
They don't know for sure, but
think so.
Yes, they think so. Because it's only got 5 ingredients compared to the 500 ingredients that are in cigarettes from the tobacco company and so forth.
So it's more like organic.
Yeah, I would think that's true. Organic. And so you go, but what you realize is that by going online, they literally only had to work maybe 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, they can, you know, your order comes in, it'll be shipped out
right.
the next day.
Right.
You know, and so forth. So yeah.
That is the one thing that has changed, though. Like, you do get your orders so much faster through, you know, if you go through Amazon or any place.
Yeah.
Really, and there are still some places that I shop online with that say, you know, you will have your order in 8 to 10 business days. And you went, like,
screw
that's
you.
An eternity.
It is.
I don't want to wait 3 weeks and then have it end up in, you know, Nebraska someplace, you know, waiting in a terminal. You know, those people should get out of the dark ages.
Well, okay.
What are you doing that your supply chain takes 8 to 10 business days to get to me when Amazon can deliver to the trunk of my car by 3 o'clock today?
Yes. Well, exactly. And like this idea that, you know, Amazon can now have just a trunk available to you. And what happens if, you know, somehow you open your trunk up, get your groceries, and they're like, oh, dead body. So, you know, like you know, I don't know. There's like a mass murderer that uses
people's trunks.
Yes, or yeah, and so forth. I'm trying to go for a joke here, but there was
you didn't get it.
I didn't get it. There was no joke to be found. As you know, one of
my friend's sisters. I don't know if I told this last week, but I found this very, very interesting. That this is kind of, we are braver, and her sister is in her early 60s, and she's been married for several decades. She's a lesbian, been married to several decades, but they live in Portland, and the home that they had for several decades is now worth, you know, $1 million+, and they probably paid, you know, just $100 something for it, you know.
Right.
So they're each walking away with a lot of money. But she did not know for the longest time what she wanted to do. Did I tell this last week? Because I just think it's a really good comment on what older women are finding attractive.
Yes.
And she didn't know what, she didn't want to buy another house. She didn't want to do this. But she wanted to travel. And she was visiting her brother who has a Nissan dealership. And she goes there and she sees this white van. And she went, light bulb.
Yeah.
And she goes, I want this all decked out.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to just, you know, and travel with my doggy.
Yeah.
And go stay wherever I want, because, you know, she's got a boatload of friends and people and do this for a while. And you know, that, you know, and really 40 years ago, you know, if you did that, you were really kind of considered homeless.
Yeah.
This is right now, this is cool. This is like, you know, better than a tiny house.
Right, right.
You know, being decked up, being mobile.
Yeah.
My only thought was, I thought it was awesome and cool and very brave and all that. I just would have bought, like, you know, like a Winnebago.
Yeah, a small camper.
Small camper.
Right.
I wouldn't have, you know, bought the, like, they had to put insulation in it and everything. I just would have bought
something that was already built for that.
Yeah, built for that.
That might have been a couple years old that you could then resell. You know,
yeah. I mean, it's going to be difficult to. Well, maybe it wouldn't be difficult.
I don't know, but that's what she wanted.
Yeah,
and maybe she got a good deal from her brother. You know,
well, even so.
Yeah, even so,
you get the best deal,
right?
If you still end up, you know, sleeping in a Walmart parking lot with your dog, you know, in a panel van. You know,
down by the river.
Yeah.
but it is interesting. And we are having to rethink that.
Would not be me.
No, hell no.
Yeah.
I would like a real bathroom, I guess. But I mean, I can see myself doing that if I need to, because I can go to those places in my brain where I can compartmentalize and going, oh, this is okay. I'm choosing this life because that's what I do. I'm choosing this to live in the van. I don't, you know, even
you
10
wake
years
up in the
ago,
morning, this was a choice.
Yeah, 10 years ago, before this happened to me, before I divorced when you said, you know, it's amazing what women in their 60s are finding attractive. And the first thought I thought was, yeah, not men.
They certainly aren't finding 60-year-old
men attractive. But, you know, you rewind her life 10 years ago. I'm certain that she would never have thought that she would find that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Living in a van.
Yeah. And being happy.
And being happy. And not saying that, well, I didn't win this. This is not right. Yeah. This is hard.
Going mobile.
And I'm more attracted to that decision to, you know, get a deck out of a van.
Yeah.
Then I saw the other day at our Lodge Cottage Cabin, you know, someone come in this, I don't know, 40-foot, massive, beautiful, you know, camper.
Huge
camper. Pulling
scary.
A brand new Jeep.
Yeah, scary and, huge.
And on the back, so first off, you have this big, massive camper. And on the back, they've raised and elevated this, and they have electronic lift of their motorcycle. So they've got this three-wheeler, not even a real motorcycle.
No,
it's a three-wheeler.
Yeah.
It's a real motorcycle.
And it's pulling their, this is a big driving.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, and I don't even know, camper's not the right word. I mean, it's so big.
It's a home on wheels.
Yeah, and then they're pulling this brand new car, and you're like, and then they're parking into Jellystone.
You're like, whoa.
Jelly. But it is funny because we're getting our cabin open, Lodge Cottage cabin, and our neighbor, he and his wife are very interesting. They're probably in their 60s or 70s, and they they live there, or they're working on living there full time.
Yeah.
For 6 months, and then they've bought another one in Jellystone in Texas.
Yeah.
And that they want to live in there in the winter time.
Yeah.
And you were talking to the wife, and she's saying, you know, you think you've got this little, you know, 16 by 38, you know, park model, and you got the big porch, and you think, you know, I can contain this. This is good. This is great. She goes, I've already spent about $12,000
on redoing it.
Just on redoing it.
And new goes, floors, new cabinets.
And she's like, I don't get it.
How'd I do this?
This is crazy.
Like, you chose this, honey. Yeah. This is what you chose.
But you realize you've got to, it's like a pit.
It is a pit.
It's a pit you can get into if you let yourself fall
and
into it.
I think you could let yourself fall into it. I think because what it really does, I think sometimes you want to remodel your home. But it's so overwhelming to think about remodeling your home.
Your home.
Like, your address.
Yeah, we got like 2,600 square feet. Yeah, you're going, that's like overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. And you're like, I could spend a 50, 60 grand on this to overwhelm it. I could to redo it. I could spend
unlimited.
20
sure.
grand on the kitchen alone. Maybe 30.
Yeah.
You know, not out of this world, just for a normal kitchen redo, right? And so you're going, you know what? I think it's time for me to own a park model.
Yeah.
Because I still have that desire to be creative and to use and to transform something.
Yeah.
But at least now, it's a tiny thing. I can actually literally see it in my mind's eye. I know exactly what to do.
Right.
I can do it. And I choose this. And I can put all my energy on this. And so now, therefore, every weekend, we choose to go here and redo this thing. Because we can see the completion of this.
It seems doable.
It seems doable.
But it's the same thing, you know. It you can let it become a money pit.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sure people who, like one of our neighbors who actually she's not a neighbor, but she lives in the complex. She put her one of those boats that just kind of go down the river. You can barbecue on it.
Pontoon.
Yeah, pontoon.
Yeah,
up for sale. And she's like, you know, oh, it was the best day when we bought this. And it'll be the best day when we sell it, you know?
Exactly.
There's always that element of something that, you know, you just like, I can't wait to have this. And,
yeah.
But it was interesting, though, because the same family owned our park model.
Yes.
And our neighbors that we're talking about. And the wife said, well, I just had to get in there because they had curtains up in this park model that made me feel like I was in a funeral home.
Yes.
And it was the exact same thing that I said to you. I said, yeah. You know, listen, these curtains are made well. I could understand that they wanted all of this
insulation.
You know, because there were shades and there was, you know, curtains, and then there were curtains over the curtains, and there were toppers over the curtains, and this, and I said, I feel like I'm in a funeral home.
Here. Yes,
and that was like the first thing we did was just take off all the curtains, but we're not throwing them away. They're great quality.
And then I kept thinking all week after she had mentioned that, you'd mentioned it to me as well, the comment about being in a funeral home.
Yeah,
like, okay, first off, you understand why they went with that look, you know,
the
heavy shade,
yes,
the sheer curtains, then the other heavy curtains, then the balance. You're like, whoa, this is a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of layering.
Yeah, a lot of layering, you know. But then you go, well, why is it that funeral homes have to be so dark? Why is it that they can't have windows? And because you realize there are no windows in funeral homes in the room where you're showing, you know.
Right.
I would think you want a little light in.
You want the light.
I would think.
I think not.
You think not?
I think not.
Why not?
Well,
because that's so true, though. There's no light.
It's different if, like, the body is, if it's an open or closed casket. But I remember, this is my take on that.
Oh, okay.
When my brother Steve died, this was back in late 79, your dad and I and you guys, we were on the road.
Yeah.
And nobody had cell phones back then or whatever. So when we didn't find out you know, about it in time to actually, you know, get back to Chicago and then quickly come back to Belleville, you know. And so we didn't arrive until actually at the gravesite. And they said to me, do you want to say goodbye to your brother?
Right.
You know, and this was in the light of day.
Oh.
And they opened the casket up. And, you know, you don't want to see somebody that was, you know, in a car accident and having to have the kind of makeup and stuff done.
Right.
In the harsh light of day. It's not pretty.
So really it's a lighting issue.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
That's your feeling. It's a lighting issue. Got it.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay.
I think it's a lot more contained.
Yeah.
You know, and also too, you want everything to be hush hush.
Yeah.
You don't want it to go. I think it's like you hear about the Irish funerals.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like being loud
drinking and having fun.
And then the body's sitting there too.
Yeah.
You know, sitting up, have a holding a drink in his hand.
Is that true? It's like a Bernie's at Weekend kind of thing? I didn't know that was their culture.
I think so.
It's like, we just...
Can we set him up?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, then I guess you'd need lighting.
Here's to Bernie.
But then you're looking at timing as well. You'd have to really be like, let's get this thing happening soon because the body ain't going to last long.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure they must... You know, embalm it.
Yeah, yeah, they must last a little longer.
They must have something that if it's their drinking buddies, it may already be somewhat. It'll be a quick job. He's already three sheets to the wind here.
There you go. So very interesting. Yeah. Okay, I get that now.
That's what my opinion is.
I agree. There's a lot,
but unlike other podcasts, we will bring on a mortician to tell us if we're truthful or not.
Yeah, because that would have to be. We needed a professional opinion on this.
Yes.
It's like,
hold on. Let us bring in. Let's bring in Mrs. Sarah J. McConnell.
Yeah.
Who's a mortician, been in the family business for over 60 years. Could you tell us why, please? Yeah. That it's the drapes are heavy. Well, the carpets do match the drapes. What am I doing, Joseph?
I don't know what you're doing. So anyway, I've had something happen to me this week, you know, again.
Can we talk about it?
Yes, we can.
Good news?
No, not good news.
Oh.
But I'm choosing it. I'm choosing this to have happened to me. Okay. I kind of got a blow off from a friend.
Oh.
And I
remember.
And I
thought. That was tough.
It was tough.
And I cried.
I
wept.
And I've had to really work with it because I'm getting people in my brain telling me how to deal with it, because that's what you have to do. Because if initially you, I mean, she's just a friend. She's not a great friend. She's just a friend that, right. A kind of a new friend.
Right.
That we talk on the phone once
about
in a while.
2 years.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And our last real conversation didn't go well. You know, it was just kind of awkward. We're not like that kind of friendship. We have, you know, just we kind of like helped each other out, whatever, but it just wasn't really flowing.
You said it was awkward.
It was awkward.
It wasn't flowing.
And I even said beforehand, I go, why don't we meet to talk to him at a different time? Because I'm not really in the mood and I can tell you're distracted. She goes, oh, no. And so we kind of forced it, right? And so we let it go. And I text her once and she texts me something back. And then I text her again. 2 weeks later, not like all the time, like 2 weeks later, I texted her, she texted me back. 2 weeks later, I texted her something, I didn't hear back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I think it just said, you know, happy, whatever. And then I texted her yesterday, you know, I said, hey, you know, hope all is well. I got some good news from my doctor about my Lyme disease. And I feel, for, you know, here's a side note. I thought it was Lyme's disease. It's not. It's Lyme disease. I wish somebody would have told me this years ago, or at least a year ago when I got Lyme disease.
But we call it Lyme's.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what the Midwesterns call it.
Is that the, I don't
it's
know.
It's Lyme's
that's,
to us.
So.
You got the Lyme's.
I got the Lyme's disease. Yes. You know, I'm shopping at the Jewels. You know, I mean. All right. So I got some good news, and I'm off this medication that I hated taking because it was just horrible.
Horrible.
The side effects were just horrible for me. And so I felt really good. And so I
wanted to share the news.
I did, because she knew me before and she knew me after. And I said, I just wanted to share a little good news. And she said, oh, I'm so happy for you. And then, period, real busy. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I said, love to chat, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever. No big deal.
And she said, great news.
I'm happy for you. Real busy.
Real busy.
I'm like, okay, good. I go, thank God she said that, because, like, here's the right way to end something.
Yeah.
Just real busy, you know? Yeah, she could be just really busy and can't really talk. She's driving. Who knows? That's fine. But I'm certainly taking it as, leave it alone.
Yeah.
For whatever reason,
leave
it alone. Yeah. I've never met this person either.
No.
So it's not like
I'm invested
in making sure she's okay. Right. You know, like, leave it alone. I have in the back of my mind going, hey, you've picked this. You've had this chosen for you. And then I think of all the things, like, did I do this wrong? And then I go, you know what? You may need to work on yourself a little bit more, Julie. Maybe I'm not good enough. You know, those thoughts came through my mind. And, like, Adam Carolla always talks about, like, hey, if you're feeling like, you know, something's not working right in your life, or something going on, you know, work on yourself. You know, and I felt like, okay, this might just be a wake-up call. Like, hey, I don't know why, but it felt like I need to work on me a little bit more. And because there are some things going on that I'm just not fulfilling.
I mean, that's really true, and you can look at that relationship that way. But it was an interesting relationship to begin with.
Yeah.
At first blush, you know, you're in your master's program. She started out as a mentor. She has a PhD, and she's a mentor. During the course of your program, she was fired.
Yes.
And you both knew prior to, at the beginning of the relationship, that you both were coaches.
Yeah.
She was a coach. You were a coach.
Right.
And so when she got fired, she came to you for coaching.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah, so the relationship kind of reversed at that point.
Yeah.
You know, whereas she was mentoring you in your master's program, you became her coaching.
Right.
And so that role changed.
Right.
And I think then as she explored this more and was, you know, getting another employment.
Yeah.
And figuring out what she wanted, I think things changed for her.
Right.
You know, so I mean, you certainly can look at that, but I just thought it was interesting to begin with.
Right.
The role changing.
Yeah.
Because usually in friendships or whatever, dynamics take kind of static.
Yeah.
You know, I'm this person to this person, and this person treats me like this, and it works. And you
right.
know. So I felt like it wasn't unusual for me.
No.
That would happen. But like you said, though, you'd been feeling for like the last two or three phone calls, something was up, something was awkward on her part. You couldn't get her to respond and say, tell me what's going on.
Right.
And then with this one, when it said, real busy, period.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, clean.
That's what I felt. Clean. I want to say there's no reason to ghost people, because
no.
At that moment, I'm like, oh, that's the appropriate way to end a text and end a relationship of some sort.
If you're smart. Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm glad. Oh, good. I'm glad. I go, real busy.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, done. That should be almost code for, like, hey, you know, maybe in the future we'll text more. Mm-hmm. Or like, hey, no problem to text.
But I'm done,
But we're done, you know.
And you do have to be a little bit, expertise at reading these kind of signals.
Yes.
Because you said, you know, maybe a couple months before, the relationship feels awkward. She's feeling like, I'm feeling something. And, you know, so this wasn't unusual.
Right.
To have her say real busy. And you went, oh, light bulb. I get this.
Yes.
It's done.
It's done.
You know?
Yes. And some say okay. You got to say like, oh, if somebody gets a text and the last person says to you real busy, it's almost like now it's in their court to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I won't bother you anymore.
I won't bother you. And if you want to connect again, it's your job.
Right.
Not mine.
Exactly.
And that would be like the easiest way to not ghost somebody then. Yeah. Because I know ghosting is horrible.
It's horrible.
Because what happens is people go, well, they really blame themselves. But then also they go, what if they're dead?
Yeah.
What if like I'm the only person that knows that. Nobody, you know, maybe they're in their room stuck, like they broke their leg and they can't get to the phone, you know.
I mean, that's what most people who are being ghosted feel like.
Yeah.
You know, they're hurt, but they're going, oh my God, there's some this amazing scenario.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
This person's not, you know. And basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically they're screwing somebody else.
Yeah. Basically, they just don't want to talk. And they're too cowardly to say, real busy.
Yeah.
They're just too much of a coward. Like, I can't put the words real busy down, you know? I mean, how much courage does it take to text somebody, hey, you know, I'm real busy, you know, don't know when I can talk to you, you know, take care.
But you know what, though? When I was a kid, like, younger,
yeah,
I would have been one of those people that...
To just, like, not...
Yeah. I would have been like, I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah. I'm so awkward.
You know, it just feels like if I just don't do anything,
right.
maybe that'll be enough.
But we know with
I'm
Comey.
I'm sure I broke a lot of hearts that way.
Yeah, you did. We know with Comey that, you know, no decision is just is a decision, you know.
As a coach, you as know. A therapist, I do understand that, Julie.
That making no decision is making a decision.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the best decision.
It is.
I like to, you know, for me, I'll your dad will come to me, have you made a decision on this yet? And yeah, the decision is to let it play out a little bit longer. I want to see.
I always see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, let's just let it play out because there's no real decision to be made just
keep,
quiet
let's
yet.
Keep unpacking this a little bit more and more.
Well, sometimes that happens. It's like sometimes you needed to let a situation, I mean, we're not in the FBI. We don't have to make decisions that have to have an answer today, you know? We can let things percolate. Those are not our lives.
We may need to have more details.
Yes, exactly. So
I want to. Can I just you touched please. On this a little bit, but I want to talk about the good news that you got this week because people did know if they've been listening to the girlfriends, they know that how you struggled with Lyme disease and how the meningitis and you had neuritis and. It affected your optic nerve and you had that pseudo tumor in your brain that affected your optic nerve and a big blind spot. And you had to take this horrible, horrible medicine that made you horribly, horribly, side effects were just unbelievable.
Right.
And you really were a profile in courage taking these pills that had produced horrible side effects. And you went to the doctor this week and had all the tests done, and your optic nerves are normal.
Yes.
And everything looks good. You don't have to take the medicine.
Right.
But you said to the doctor, I still have my blind spot.
Yes.
I still have it. And she looked at you and said, everybody has a blind spot.
Everybody has a blind spot. That's where the optic nerve is at. And your brain fills it in. But everybody has a blind spot.
You just have such good vision that you can see your blind spot.
Yeah, that you're more aware of it.
Yeah.
Because, and I go, well, because that's where your blind spot got bigger and bigger. And so now it's just a normal little blind spot that we all have. And it was what was cute about it is that the tech that was with her in the room, the tech goes, we all have blind spots? I'll have to show it to you later.
Well, it's interesting because I said to you when you came out, I said, you know, when we were kids, that's how we learned the word blind spot.
Yes.
Was that you have a blind spot. And we would, in school, in class, we would put our finger out.
Yeah, and you try to find it. Like, it's right there.
To find
it. Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. Can't find it. Can't see it.
And I think, over the years, the word got, more into the culture and became something other than an actual real blind spot.
Right, right. And so I felt so happy and so blessed. And to end this, and I also said to you, I go, I guess now one of my excuses has left me. I can't, because, you know, there were times like, Julie, you're so exhausted. I'm like, well, I'm on this medication that makes me just want to sleep all day long. And I have neuropathy on my feet and my hands and my knees and my hand, you know, legs, and my face, you know, and now I'm like, you know, the medicine is leaving my system and it's still coming through.
Oh, sure. It'll be there for a while. Yeah.
But this fact that, like, you know, you got to get your crap together. You know, you got to get your crap together, Julie. And this excuse that you've had for almost a whole year is gone. And
how did that feel?
It felt like a hit in the head, but like, and also, too, I'm wondering the things I've been still experiencing, if those are from the Lyme disease or just my natural body. Mm. Like, and so here's...
I can almost guarantee you it's from the Lyme disease.
Yeah.
I just read up on it, and I study the celebrities that have had
yeah.
it. And sometimes they actually go away for 2 years, 2.5 years, and they still say they're not... that to their former self.
Right.
And you may never really be. I mean, right. It may be so defining.
Yeah, that, it could be.
And we did hear that these kind of illnesses have increased, I don't know, 500%.
Oh, yeah.
The disease caused by animals.
Yeah, exactly. I remember listening to Tim Ferriss, and he had Lyme disease. And he said it was like 9 months of his life that just disappeared.
Yeah.
Just disappeared, right. You know? And so I understand that. And... I was just thinking to myself, and then speaking out loud about it, and then conversing.
Speaking to myself. conversing with myself.
Yeah, because what I am noticing right now that's coming back is these numb spots I have in my body, you know? How my belly, it's numb, and how my one chest is numb, my back, it's numb. And... you're like, oh, I wonder what that's about, and if that's from the Lyme disease, and it could be.
It could be. It probably is, Jules.
It attacks you in different ways, and I can live with it. I can very much live with it, mm-hmm. and I think that's how you eventually go, oh, okay, I can live with this one, because mm-hmm. you have no choice, mm-hmm. and then you go, I'm choosing to live with this one. I've made this choice.
But isn't it funny, though, you go, oh, I'm choosing to live with this, and I'm also choosing to live with this. And I'm choosing to live with this. And then pretty soon, you're like, I'm just a shell of myself.
Yeah.
What happened to this? The girl that used to be me.
And then you'll hear someone say, you know, your life is what you've allowed it to become. And you're like, oh, how did I allow this to happen? I truly did not allow this to happen.
Because I've been saying to myself, I chose this.
I've been choosing this all along the way.
And then I said, we were talking about this week. And then I said, now I understand that there was this great grandma, you know, that she lived in a trailer. And knock on a door, and a guy came to rob her, and you know, it was just a young kid, and she looked at him, and he said, you know, I want to give me your money and give me this, and she just said, oh, hell no, not today. And she pulled the baseball bat out. Yes.
Come on in, baby boy. I'm going to show you.
And then I just realized, you know, there's like, yeah, I'm choosing this. Yeah. I'm choosing this. Oh, I'm choosing this. And then there's, oh, hell no, not today.
Not
ain't going to happen. Have had many of those, oh, hell no, not today.
This line
moments.
Is drawn in the sand and so forth.
Right.
Speaking of Jellystone, we were there yesterday.
Yeah.
And we take Elliot for a ride in the golf cart because he loves it.
He loves it.
But yesterday I really felt that was the first time we were getting like some, like we're not supposed to be driving with our dog in our front yet.
Because people are screaming at us,
yes.
You're not supposed to be driving with your dog.
I could not tell.
Yeah, I here's the thing though: these people are driving with 25 children.
Yes,
you know, hanging out. It looks like Pakistan.
Yes,
you know, on a train,
and no one's following the rules of the road.
No, and so we're getting and we're getting like shamed, pet shamed, because we're driving with our dog.
Well, then I thought to myself, maybe I could put his
crate
on the back.
You can't.
Maybe I should think about that. Try it. See if he would like that.
Oh, yeah. He'd love that.
You know, maybe that would be it.
The problem is it's the driver carrying the dog. It's not me. And I would be fine holding him, except I have a bad shoulder.
Right.
And if he decided
maybe
to
I'd
make
have him, you drive.
I could drive.
And then I would shoulder that burden. Old Elliot. Because now I'm driving annually.
But then I would not have an enjoyable experience.
Right. It's true. It'd be like, ah. Because, I mean, how many times I heard you yesterday, like, hey, get off my lawn. I mean, like, no, in the from you, like, in the bigger sense, like, everybody's driving so fast around here.
Well, I have no idea. We live in a golf cart community here.
Yes.
And I'm always fascinated by, you know, four-year-olds driving these great big golf carts, you know, and speeding. Yes. And that's fine.
Oh, that's fine.
That's no problem. Sure.
That's not a problem.
Yeah, that's
not a problem. Or like having 12 people on a golf cart. Like, that's definitely happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And the cooler.
And the cooler. And drinking.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Why not?
I'm going to tell you something, though.
Yes.
You know, don't ever just think Jellystone is for the grandkids.
Oh, it's not.
You should see where everybody's out. They all got their brewskis and their cocktails. They're on their golf carts, and it is the friendliest place on earth. It ain't Disney World.
No.
And there's an undercurrent, you know, like our neighbor, if he's got his flags up, that it's like open cooler time. You can stop in, and people just stop their golf carts. And
when he has his flags out, he's
flying his flags.
Yep.
Everybody knows they can stop in.
Yep.
You know, I said to Norm, I said, you know, we've got a huge amount of dandelions, and it's time. Everybody else's yards are beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had this like kind of fight all day long about which lawnmower to bring, because I don't know. Anyway, it was a stupid, silly fight. But we get there, and somebody mowed our lawn for us.
Yeah.
We don't know who.
No, no one's coming to it.
Wasn't our neighbor. Nobody said anything.
Didn't do a great job either, by the way.
Not really, yeah. Oh, somebody did something for free.
Yeah,
and we complained.
Sucked.
You could have done it. If you were going to go
do a job, do a job worth doing.
It's like, we still like have to go over it.
Exactly.
But they were like, I just can't take those dandelions anymore.
Exactly. And so,
So there's this undercurrent of like, I think people swing there. I honestly do.
Yeah.
I think they swing, they drink. And, you know, wink, wink, it's for the grandkids. And yet you only get like 10 passes a year. You know, like here's your 10 times that the kids can come visit.
Yeah. Like, really? That's it?
And you're like, the rest of the time is like, out of my way.
Yeah. It's all adults here, people. It's all adults. Yeah. It's hysterical. And so that has become your new home away from home.
It is my new home away from home.
Yeah, which is hysterical to me because I would never have thought this would be your home away from home.
You never thought this would be me.
It's not you.
And you were, and you like, yeah, they have like at 12:30 and 3:30 and 5:30, they have this great big cart that's pulled by a big tractor, and Yogi gets in the, and all these people get in for the big, like, it's like a big giant hayride. And every time it comes by, excuse me,
you're yelling, "Hey, Yogi!"
Yeah, and you're like, "Shut up, Mom! Shut up!"
Oh, I did do that yesterday. I did kind of quiet you, and I felt bad afterwards. I'm like, I don't know why I did that.
I don't know why you did it either.
I do know why. Now that I will say why.
Why?
I told you why. Maybe you didn't hear me because now I have a couple that I know works there. Which I thought, I've had to play this as like, oh, this is such a great news.
This is so wonderful
news.
It's
my boyfriend's good friends.
Yeah.
And they're, as a couple, and they're both working there.
Yeah.
And I thought, and my first thought was, this is the worst news ever.
I know.
This is the worst news ever. That was my thought.
Well, it is.
But
it is,
I had to pretend to be like, this is the best news ever.
He retired from the prison.
Yeah.
He's
like 51.
Yeah. And so he retired
from
30
years of prison work.
Yeah. And so it was perfect for Jellystone because we're like prisoners trapped in there.
Yes, exactly.
And so he knows how to round us up and everything. But the first time I met him several weeks ago, I was holding Elliot, and he's got a dog, and Elliot's always happy in the golf cart, you know? And Elliot chose to
try to bite him.
He didn't, but you know. And so like, you know, we're in the golf cart, you know, we apologize, we're going to the lake and stuff, and we get this phone call.
Yeah.
And it's Doug.
He's saying, "Oh, I just heard that Ellie tried to bite Joel." And I'm like, "Yes.
That's why I love this couple.
I love this couple.
Yeah, they have Super Bowl parties. And
they're great people. I love them. But the fact that now I think to myself, I can't just go there to anonymously.
Yeah.
And if Doug goes, what did you do today? Because there are times we don't live that far from it. Yeah. I would like to say, I don't want to tell him I went to Jellystone. Because he's like, oh, you got so much time on your hands that you can go to Jellystone in the middle of the day on a weekday?
Oh, yeah, we
who,
do.
Who do you think you are? I'm like, well, someone who's got to drive to Tacoma in 2 hours, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, I got stuff going on, but I do have the time to do that.
Right.
So now I feel like I can't not tell him where I'm actually
at. I know, especially if we see Joel or
Amy.
Oh,
my God. So then,
then we'll get a phone call. Hey, what did you do it?
I'm
we're in Jellystone.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I know, because Joel texted me, you're in Jellystone. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I mean, so that's the thing, you know?
And so we get this call at 7 in the morning or something like that from Doug. Joel just said pool number 3 is broken and needs something to be fixed. Isn't that horrible? We knew last year that pool number 3 was broken. What are we going
to do?
And also, they're on their second well. The first well is being repaired, and they're on the second well now.
What are you going to do about that? I have no idea. Luckily, they've got money to fix this stuff.
Yeah. I have no idea. Down. So now we get like the news.
Yeah, the news. I wish I didn't have. I didn't want to have this
I don't
news.
Care.
I don't care. Yeah.
I don't really care.
Through Douglas, you know. So so to me, it was like the best and the worst. I mean, like, it's nice to have somebody look after your stuff.
It's Dickens. It's Dicksonian.
Yes.
Dickens.
Yes.
It was the best of times.
It was the worst of times. Because what I really am at my core, because we're almost out of the show, done with the show, is that I'm really love to be anonymous in my life.
I know.
And everywhere
and really
I look, I'm asked to be not anonymous.
Yeah.
And that drives me crazy.
Yeah, because we were anonymous in Jellystone.
And if I can't be anonymous, then I got to up my ante. You know, and that's why I'm like.
Yeah, you can't wear the low-hanging bra. You got to wear the higher bra.
Yeah.
Or as for me, I have to wear a bra.
Exactly. And I bought 2 new bras in the mail. And I saw myself at Walmart in the little security cam. And I'm going, boy, my boobies are hanging low. I mean, like, I look like I got nothing. And then went down. I look like I have no boobs.
But you'd look like Stormy Daniels if they weren't hanging low, though.
Exactly right. I would. Be like, you could put a glass on top of that.
a martini.
So, yeah. So, girlfriend, how was the show this week?
Quick.
It was
and
quick.
Great.
It was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.